This week, Shinnecock Hills Golf Club on Long Island, New York, plays host to the 126th U.S. Open.
Another epic up and down at Pinehurst for a U.S. Open championship. Bryson DeChambeau now has two.
This is a U.S. Open week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
We find a nice sweet spot between the dunes. We take out our drivers, we tee up and...
And Brandon Sprague.
I only hit one really good ball that went way out.
Well, what happened?
I have no concentration.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
What is that, a title list?
U.S. Open Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Whoa.
Got a lot to get to in this hour of radio.
You have ruined the movie 300 for me.
I apologize for that, man. That's my bad.
That
one's on me.
That was a deep, dark, disturbing Wikipedia. That page was not delightful.
Do not search, do 300 guys sleep with each other on a company computer? You're going to get flagged. The brand man is here. I'd like to apologize on behalf of our show. I think I've been flagged because I did search it. I wanted to make sure I didn't just say that off the cuff on the air and wasn't true. It is definitely true. And it's even worse than you imagine, if that's possible.
When you get to the it's bad, it's exactly the bad you think it is.
Like, they took...
No, yeah, we get it, dude.
You don't want me to go into further detail?
No.
Are you sure you don't want more details? Are you sure? Because I can give you more details.
I don't need... I read
details. No? You don't want to...
Hey, yo. 120 poops.
Want any more Swaggy, do you need any more details on this one? Are you okay over there?
No.
Are you doing...
I'm good.
You're good? Okay, on that.
Ease the pain of a triple back door.
Time to nut up or shut up.
Wash your ass.
I think it's a good way. That was not something they were doing back then, which caused all sorts of sanitary issues. Somebody said, they took a male lover during the maturing process.
We don't need to talk about this.
I'm just glad that was like a good PC way to say it. That's way better than the googly eye answer that they gave me. It was much more descriptive on my work.
How am I supposed to watch Christopher Nolan's Odyssey movie now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you think about it, dude. Back in the day,
Father, like, where have you been?
If you went to war as a this is Sparta, like back in the day, how long are you gone for?
Years,
right? Like you're walking to whatever boat you're taking, then you're taking a boat for who knows how long, going to who knows where.
What if the movies got this part wrong in like the boat using days? Mm-hmm. We always imagine them. Now we know the journey takes long, right? But we imagine them rowing and rowing and rowing.
Row.
What if we replayed like the Viking era and we found out Vikings were actually napping most days and the ocean was just taking them?
It was just a big sailboat.
And then they just do 20 minutes of rowing and they're like, all right.
Yeah, they're drinking cocktails on the deck of the boat. This is great. It was a glorious day out here on the open seas.
Well, did you see the trailer for Larry David's HBO show?
I have seen the trailer, yes. Very excited for it.
He's touching on all the areas of history and he's going to do it in a comedic way. It made me wonder, though, if some of the things we retell were not in any way how we thought they were.
The secondhand story, the third-hand story. It's a game of telephone at that point by the time it gets repackaged to us.
Like, everybody has the Vikings looking like the mountain from Game of Thrones.
Right, and big giant dudes with beards and a...
Yeah, lust for murder and taking over your village.
Drinking out of horns.
In reality, they're just super fat, lazy guys on a boat, and the current's taking them, and like 20 minutes a day they're rowing. That would be a great way of finding out real history.
This is all you guys do? You just sit on a boat with your feet up? This isn't that bad at all.
You guys row a little more than 10 minutes? No, the ocean takes us there.
Somebody super into Viking culture is going to be very offended by this. I'd like to apologize ahead of time.
We're not being serious.
God bless the beaver.
There you go. God bless the beaver. We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. I got some football stuff in my nuggies. We will, by the way, get to the mail sack coming up if you want to ask about 300 sex practices or anything else. 503-864-632. It is a Sparta TRT mail sack, and that's coming up less than an hour from now. Already some good questions coming in. We might have a controversy on the horizon for Friday that at some point we will have to unpack because sources are telling me things. It's not leaving me very encouraged, so we'll get to that at some point. Can we all come together in a kumbaya moment and say, good job, us. We have officially...
What are we doing?
I feel like we can all take credit for this, not just us as a show, like the general college football world.
Oh, yeah.
Can we take credit for bullying Texas Tech into not doing one of the most corrupt, ridiculous things we've ever seen in the history of the sport?
Actually, I think we can take credit if you
want.
I want to give credit to your Mark and all of the Big 12 schools who didn't just lay down and let it happen. They, like, legitimately were threatening. And
they threw that lawsuit at him out of left field yesterday, and they thought, hey, in federal court.
Good luck with that.
And they backed down immediately.
It's just, I don't know about you. This happened with conference realignment and, yeah, a little bit with NIL. Just when you start to get into, like, lawsuits and appeal, yeah. I just, as a human,
I'm with you.
I couldn't have less of an interest in it. And I get to a point where you're like, just let me know when it's final.
Yeah.
You know, and I was starting to dread this story of just like, I don't want to read about this lawsuit filed in that county and the appeal and the federal court, local county courts. I just, to me, and that's why I'm not a lawyer, I find it boring. And I got to that point with conference realignment stuff, and I was certainly getting to that point with Sorsby. So that announcement of, he's no longer going to be at Texas Tech. He's going to go to the supplemental draft. Still going to get $5 million, by the way.
They're not asking for the money back in the NIL payment.
Which I think is a way of them saying, sorry, dude, we're actually not going to back you anymore. Here's the money. Good luck.
Yeah. They got plenty of it. They'll be fine.
Cody Campbell's rich. I was just happy to see it's done.
Yeah, there's a weird balance in all of these stories, because I certainly understand the angle, and I agree with you to a level where it becomes the same. It's kind of like the Dundon stuff, right, where it's the same thing over and over again, and it doesn't really seem like there's a lot of new angles to it, and it's like, okay, he's going to play. All right, now you filed a lawsuit. Well, the judge said this. Well, now we're going to file it. It's just like repackaging the same story in a different way, but it's also hard to not talk about or pay attention to because the ramifications of the sport, like conference realignment was that way. It became nauseating to talk about by the end, but you understand the implications of what it means for the future of college athletics. And so there's this weird balance. And that was kind of the same case with the Sorsby story, where I was tired of it. I thought it was ludicrous that they were going to try and play him. But also, if they did play him and if that had gone through, like, what are the ramifications of that? Do we get teams wanting out of the Big 12? Do we get backlash? Do we get more? It seemed like you were opening a can of worms that we've opened enough of those in college athletics. Let's not do that. So I'm glad that cooler heads prevailed. One of the most notable bullying stories of all time. Now, I can't remember how it worked out for him because I can't remember who they hired in his stead. Tennessee fans famously did this. They were trying to hire Greg Schiano years ago to be their football coach, and it got floated that he was the guy, and he was flying into Knoxville to interview, and the outrage publicly got so loud.
This happened to them twice. This happened to
Mike Leach as well.
Yeah.
It got so loud and so outrageous that they basically bullied their university into not hiring Greg Schiano and Mike Leach to be their head coaches.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, hypo's been great for him, but there's been moments in the past where maybe you weren't quite sure about that. I'm with you. This was a great testament to everybody coming together and saying, look, we understand that the system is broken. We understand that there are no rules. We understand that, you know, a need for guardrails is there for everybody. This is a bridge too far. You cannot allow a player to gamble on games that his team is involved in, be able to file a lawsuit in order to play, because there's nothing that's then stopping a kid from throwing a game on a $50,000 bet for his team to lose. You want to ban him from the sport. He finds a judge that says, well, this is unfair to the kid. You're hurting his earning privileges for the next however many years.
Yeah.
And the judge says you can go play. And now you have guys who are legally able to tank and throw games. Like, that's why this is such a slippery slope. And I'm curious now, I think the follow-up will be for me. Sometimes you can ruffle feathers and relationships can go sour in conferences because you need everybody pulling in the same direction. We went through this at the end, and unbeknownst to us, we thought we had what was our pact with the Big Ten? We had our little agreement with the Big Ten and the ACC. And behind the scenes,
the no poaching pact.
The no poaching pact, whatever it was, the I can't remember the word for it. But USC ends up bolting in the middle of the night out of nowhere. And it's like, wait, what? And we thought things were good. That to me is my next follow up of this story, because the Big 12 is not on the same level as the Big Ten and the SEC. It's a respectable conference. There's some really good teams in there, but I don't think we view them as like, oh, there's three or four teams who could compete for a national championship in this conference as of right now. They have one that has seemingly risen above everybody else for financial reasons mainly, and is now competing, it seems like, on the highest stage of the sport, and that is Texas Tech. And you just went at your biggest dog in your conference.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if there will be any sort of fallout. Maybe Texas Tech looks in the mirror and says, you know what, you're right, this is ridiculous, we shouldn't have played him or tried to play him. But that's the next follow-up for me of, like, that's your big dog, and you just went at him.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. I'm glad that you did it. Will there be a bounce back from Texas Tech of, like, hey, we're going to remember this and the way you treated us because we're the only title contender you got?
Well, I think, okay, the first part of that to me would be they all kind of established now the line. Right? Like, didn't Utah and BYU and Brett Yormark and every other institution in that conference that hopped on with the AD call, they told you what the line was.
Yeah.
So if any of them try to play past that line, that's an easy, like, no, dude, we already established that line. So what are you doing? The second part is, I think what I love about sports is how unpredictable elements of it can be. And the Big 12 is a good example of this. We are going in saying, well, it's Texas Tech. Right. And then everybody else. BYU was right there in the argument for most of the season. And then they played Texas Tech and it didn't go well.
Played them twice. Didn't go well, but they've been a very good team the
very
last two
years.
Very
good team with
Satake. Yes.
ASU was the Big 12 representative with a bye just 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think you should count them out. And so I think you just look in the conference and it's one thing to conclude who is the big dog. It's another to let them play this out. And maybe Dillingham has a bounce back year. And ASU is now the cream of the crop. I was glad to see them kind of rally together against it. And as much as you might be pointing out accurate stuff, I have found them. It's crazy that 2 weeks ago I was lauding Joey McGuire. And
for the Texas stuff.
We'll pay
and the
you
stuff,
out. Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great. And then a week later, all this stuff starts hitting the fan. And even though he's not going to play and he's going to go to the supplemental draft, dude, Cody Campbell coming out yesterday, and he's like, actually, maybe your mark should calm it down. Like, he's still acting like he runs the conference.
Yeah, he's still acting like the head cheese.
God, I hate that program.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Yeah.
I hate everything they stand for. They don't stand for anything, really. But, like, everything that they did in this process, I found it just so unlikable. I find him unlikable. And there's boosters all over the sport, some you never heard of that are awful. But God, he is just the worst. And so I was glad yesterday it's finally dead, and I cannot wait to watch them disappoint and hope that they disappoint this season.
Well, and that's the other part of it now because, you know, we had a listener tweet us earlier today, well, what's their move going to be at quarterback? I want to remind people. So Sorsby's out of the picture. He's going to the supplemental draft. Good luck. I wouldn't touch him. He was fine at Cincinnati.
That's a follow-up that I have is does the NFL punish him in any way? Because I also don't know what teams.
He's not good enough to not be punished. Does that make sense? Like, he's just not, like, why would I take a flyer on this guy who is going through all this gambling stuff? He's going to be a hot button issue. And he was fine in Cincinnati.
That's a fine opinion to have. There are people that cover the NFL draft that think he is a top five prospect if he's able to play this year and he doesn't have the gambling stuff tied to his name.
Yeah.
If he has a good year at Texas Tech and this gambling stuff never comes out, he's probably putting himself in the ring with the Dantes, the Arches, the Lenore Sellers.
Very well could have that kind
whoever
of
whoever else you want to throw into the conversation. I think he's in it, but because the gambling's tied to it, and I think Feldman noted that he's 1-11 the last like 2 years past past the month of October.
So late in the season, he's not very good.
I think that's what it was, if I have that correct. I know he's not been very good late, but because of that now, you got to wonder, is the NFL going to do anything, or what team is going to want to bring that on? Because Todd Monken in Cleveland, for example, was just asked about this, and he's like, how can you take a guy with that kind of integrity issue?
So do you know the last time somebody was taken in the supplemental draft? I did not know this answer.
I think the one that comes to my mind.
Who's the one that sticks out to you when you think about it?
It's the Maurice Claret, Terrell Pryor stuff, right?
Yes. I don't think.
Pryor was a supplemental draft guy,
wasn't
he?
Pryor was.
Because he got suspended for the season.
Where's Maurice?
For the tattoo exchange.
I don't think Maurice Claret ended up getting drafted. Did he get in trouble before then? Because I just pulled up a list of the guys taken in the supplemental draft, and his name's not on there. Terrell Pryor's
is. Didn't he fight? He had the legal case to
leave
early.
He tried to leave early because his college career, and I don't think he won, and I can't remember. Maybe he just sat out for a year.
Maybe that's what it was.
Because he didn't win his court case or something.
Did he go to the NFL draft the next year he was
eligible? He might have, after sitting out for a year. I don't remember all the specifics. Josh Gordon is one that I remember because he was such a big name for a long time.
Yeah, he was. Claret was a third round in the 2005 draft.
Okay, so did he sit out a year of college football?
I think
then
he tried to go to the supplemental as his didn't out. Okay. And it, all the legalities of it didn't work.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor was taken in the third round in 2011. Josh Gordon in the second round by the Browns.
Gordon, that's a good one.
All the failed weed tests.
Yeah.
The last time we had a player taken in the supplemental draft, I don't even remember this story, was Jalen Thompson in 2019. He was ineligible for a senior season because of an NCAA rules violation. He was from Washington State. I don't remember that story at all. So he went, he ended up getting drafted in the fifth round by Arizona. So it's a pretty rare thing. But there's the football angle of it on the other side, because this notion out there, well, Tech's going to go find another quarterback. No, you're not. The punishment for doing it now, they have now, this is one of the most severe punishments that's out there, and they can actually enforce it because everybody came together and agreed on it. That if you are to go entice a player to enter the portal outside of the designated window and go get him, the institution's head coach, so in this case it'd be Joey McGuire, would be automatically suspended for 50% of the season, and the school would be fined 20% of its overall football budget. And that's like not, we can take this to court. That is a agreed upon, all the conferences said, yes, you should not be able to go, hey, the portal window's closed, we're going to come to you in April and decide, never mind, we need a quarterback, you're going to come enter the portal. You cannot entice somebody to do that. Now, maybe Texas Tech has enough money that they're willing to roll the dice on that.
No, I
just don't think it's going to happen. And so you're looking at Will Hammond being your starting quarterback
next year. I don't
think
they need to. I think he played last year. He was a redshirt freshman. He's a sophomore coming in.
I think he was a true freshman last year. He might have been. I know he was either a redshirt or a
okay,
freshman.
I was looking at it. Yeah. It says RS sophomore.
Okay, so maybe, okay.
Whatever, but I remember when he came in, it was a big deal because he was highly touted, or at least
yes,
known
he was.
Locally.
Yes, he was.
And so, like, I know this is not Sorsby for them. Obviously, there was a reason they went and got him. I don't think they're going to be tempting this ruling. I think they're just going to say, yeah, Will Hammond, you're our guy.
And the unique thing about them, too, is that they had, I would argue, and I think it was on display in the game against Oregon, they had horrendous quarterback play last year.
Yeah.
And how many games did they lose? They were fine. So Texas Tech, even with Will Hammond, will probably be okay because they
don't. At least in that conference.
They don't play BYU, who I think most people would argue is the second best. Now, maybe you're right, out of an Arizona State or somebody else having a good year that kind of surprises people. Mm-hmm. Certainly didn't see it coming with ASU 2 years ago. I think they'll be able to manage the season. I think the knock on it will be, will he be good enough to win you a, you know, against an elite defense in a game that it mattered? Because you certainly did not have that at quarterback last year. He started two games, if my reading on this is correct, or at least played the majority of two games. He played sparingly in a handful. He threw a pick against the Beavs. Shout out the Beavs. He came into the Utah game. He was 13 of 16, 169 yards, two tuds, no picks.
Yep.
And then he started their only loss of the season at ASU. Mm-hmm. Their starter was hurt that game. He went 22 of 37, 167, two touchdowns and one pick. So not terrible for a young kid, right? Like you're getting thrown into the fire for the first time. So maybe he has a big pop year. But Brendan Sorsby will not be the quarterback of Texas Tech. And that story, ladies and gentlemen, we did it. It's finally gone.
I don't know how an NFL team drafts him. How do you explain that to your fan base?
I wouldn't want to do
it, man.
They're
going to be worried about that cat forever.
I would not want to do it, and I don't think the talent is necessarily worth it, but maybe there's something there that a GM's going to want to roll the dice on. That will be the next angle of that story. A couple other notes out of the National Football League. We haven't talked much NFL lately, so we'll dive into a couple things around the gridiron. That's next, 105.1 FM, The Fan. An out-of-text thought at the fan text line. Historian here.
That's a great start. Historian here, you guys are absolutely stupid.
Spartans were banging like crazy.
Time to nut up or shut up.
Second the nut hits my lip, I spit it out. Can I ask a follow-up question too? If somebody says they're a historian, what do you think they do?
Professor.
You think they're a professor of history?
I think if you start the text or conversation with
historian.
As a historian, I would say, oh, you're absolutely.
That means you got to do something in history,
either
right?
That
you're not
or
like
you're
a buff.
You're a curator at a museum.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Okay, so history buff. Curator.
See, and
museum,
I don't think history buff counts.
Professor.
I don't think you can count. You can't call yourself a historian if you're just a history buff.
Why? You do this with World War II.
I don't call myself a historian.
I think you.
I'm a buff. I'm really into it. I enjoy the documentaries and the books. I'm not a historical expert. I'm not a historian. That seems like a title that is earned by degrees and job title. Does it not?
I mean, that's why I said professor. Yeah. But
that's where my mind goes. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's just a buff.
Okay, so what's the question?
If somebody calls themselves a historian,
okay.
Do you have to have a degree? Because maybe it's just a degree. Like, if you have a degree in history, I think you could technically call yourself a historian. I thought about getting a degree in history, and then I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. But it was one of the few subjects in school I ever found interesting and entertaining.
Would you ever go back to get a master's in it to be a teacher if you got fired?
Oh, I could be a history teacher.
Because you've always said you want to be like a landscaper at a golf course.
Yeah, that's the dream, dude. Ride around on my lawnmower for a couple of hours.
See, I have you.
Cut some holes into the green.
Like really
see you later.
Nice.
You'd have to go to Oregon State to get that turf management degree, though.
Dude, that was one of my dreams when I was younger was I wanted to be a golf course architect. That was one of my first dreams, and then I realized how much science is necessary, or not science, but math is necessary to do it. I was like, that's not happening.
Yeah, because a curator at a museum has to have the degree.
You have to have a degree to do that.
Professor has to have the degree.
Yeah. You're not teaching. Yeah. You're not a professor of history without a degree in history.
Pull questions up. If somebody calls themselves a historian, do they have to have a degree?
Hopefully they're listening. I'd love a follow back. Not a follow up, but a follow up. What's your history job? I kind of want to know. Curious about that. That's totally out of context. You can also, by the way, text in your mail sack questions, 503-864-6326. Somebody's saying a historian is a job title. I mean,
Well, yeah, isn't that what we just said?
But I don't. Maybe I'm confused.
You ever watch like a documentary and it literally says historian?
There's some golf clubs though that have like a club historian. A club historian.
What do you do for work as a historian?
Well, they archive.
You archive. You look up.
Where am I archiving? At the museum?
At the places. And then you're trying to get research.
At the club.
Grants.
There's usually a room or something.
Like
where
if it
they
says like this guy's
you travel to different venues to check out the history facts.
What are the people doing? They're just doing the thing.
You're a guest speaker. You're probably on podcasts.
Okay.
You're in documentaries.
Right. Okay.
So
somebody just texted. Never mind. I'm not gonna read.
Way back in the day. Once upon a time, they used to play during Easter like these Jesus docs on like National Geographic or the History Channel.
Yes.
And there would be like Bob McAdoo.
Bob McAdoo?
Jesus historian.
Bob McAdoo is a Jesus historian?
It's one of my favorite sports names. But like Bob McAdoo, Jesus historian.
Yeah.
And I would just naturally assume
he's an historian on Jesus.
Exactly.
And this is my follow-up. What is he? Does he have a degree on Jesus? Did he write a book on Jesus? Does he teach classes on Jesus?
If the title says historian, I would naturally
assume. Something in that silo you're doing?
I think you have a doctorate in history is what, like, that's how far I go with that.
Ooh, okay. Said I'm an amateur gynecologist here. We have a lot to get to in this hour. Mail side questions.
The Spartans, however.
503-864-6326. Get them in. We'll answer them coming up top of the hour. Do we buy what Steve Sarkisian told Kay Adams this week? So he was on Up at Adams with Kay Adams.
Love Kay Adams.
Nobody has ever turned down an interview to be on Kay Adams' show. I think she's got a 100% hit rate.
I go as far as to say this. I think it's the only show people watch on the channel she's on.
Yes.
What channel is it again?
It's FanDuel TV or
something. FanDuel Network.
Yeah, FanDuel Network.
Because it's horse racing all in the afternoon and evening.
You're not tuning
in. Isn't Michelle Beadle's show on there now, too?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Run It Back or whatever?
I think Beadle's show is. And look, I like Michelle Beadle. I think Kay Adams is the star of the network.
What was her and Colin's show?
Sports Nation.
Sports Nation.
That was a great show.
Sports Nation had it was one of the unique, like, new sports shows.
It was really fun.
It was actually kind of a fun angle that had not been done before.
And she was really underrated on that show.
She was great on that show.
He's great, obviously, right? He developed the career he has. She brought out a side of him that he didn't really display, I think, personally on the radio show.
Very buttoned up, very collared, and then
very
it was
good comms. Yes. Much like in business sports, and it's like, okay, there's that.
Right.
But there's the other side, your real life side. Like, let's bring that out more.
Steve Sarkisian was on Kay Adams' show. This was yesterday.
By the way, poll questions already? No.
No.
If somebody calls themselves a historian, do they have to have a degree?
Really?
No.
Everybody's answering no, huh? Maybe I'm in the wrong
here.
How do
you get the title then?
That's my whole point. You just call. Can I call myself a historian on World War II?
How many is bar trivia nights in history do you have to win to technically call yourself a historian?
Do I have to do like a game of home history Jeopardy? And if I pass, then I can call myself a historian?
I have no clue.
Follow-ups.
My mind is being blown on this.
He was on Kay Adams' show, and she asked him about the idea of Arch Manning, this not being his last season at Texas. And
isn't he a senior?
He is not.
He's a junior?
He's a redshirt junior? Because he redshirted, then he backed up, then he played.
Right.
So
right,
he was technically a senior. He's technically a senior in school
but
years.
He's a redshirt junior.
But he has two more years of eligibility left. And he said, quote, "I wouldn't be surprised." There's more. He was basically like, he loves college.
Steve.
He loves doing this. He loves being in Austin. He chose to come and sit for 2 years, knowing he would have to sit for 2 years. He's not in a huge rush to get there. And he said, "I would not be surprised if Arch Manning is our quarterback going into next season." Not this season, but next season.
In a weird way, because I don't want a memory hole last year and what we felt about Texas-Ohio State. And I thought it was a good game, but not like a sexy game, because the final was like 10-7.
Ugly, low-scoring
game. Ugly, low-scoring
game. Bad offense. Quarterbacks couldn't complete a pass.
Arch was terrible in that game. Yeah. Saiyan wasn't amazing. Do we have a higher expectation for Texas than we even did last year, considering he came in number one?
Yes, because he's got a full year of experience under his belt.
And he ended so well.
He ended the season very strongly.
Now I buy it.
He played very good at the end of last season.
If you're coming back, that tells me that's not like I love college. That
See now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
That tells me you're scared.
Oh, you're scared. Is Dante Moore scared? Because I think Dante Moore last year would have been the same. Because he went played at UCLA. Sat for a year.
That was his first full season of starting. So
I guess so he would have been
same equivalent as this
first
year.
Full year
going in this year.
Well, and last year was Arch's first year.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now it's they're going in this year. If Dante plays and they live up to their hype of being a top four or being one of the best teams, and he has a good year, and then he decides to come back, I don't fault any of these kids, by the way, for choosing to come back.
Yeah, get another year of experience.
But it makes me wonder really about you of like, why?
Yeah, I just saw that.
Dante might be the number one pick.
Sark talks out of his butt all the time, so it's not a surprise. He says he actually had some funny comments on McGuire. He was like, dude, he handled that so well. That's exactly how I would have responded if I were him on the challenge to switch your games for week one. And he said the exact response that I told you he was going to say, can we switch week two opponents when you play Oregon State, we play Ohio State? I knew that was going to be his response to the whole thing. I thought that was interesting. It was just he wasn't dismissive of the idea. Said he could come back for another year, and I'm with you. If he has a good year, that would be very, very shocking. But there's a lot of people around the country. Like I remember making the argument at times during the football season, like, "Hey guys, I think Dante's coming back for another year," and people openly laughing at me that he was going to come back. And then he made the announcement because he was going to be a top three pick in the draft. So,
well, the NIL.
I just wonder.
That,
that's what I'm wondering. Of
the
like,
NIL doesn't exist.
No,
even if he's
not
getting under the table money.
No, you go no
top three, top two money.
You're not making $6 million to play a year in college football. Now you are. And at Texas, if Arch has a good year and it's like, you know what, dude, this college is awesome. I have one more year left of my life to be in college.
Yeah.
They're going to pay me $9 million to play here. Why not?
This is the fallout reaction that I had that I didn't bring up until right now because I had forgot to write it down. The Rams took Ty Simpson, what, was it 12 or was
13.
It 13?
I believe it was 13, yeah.
I don't know what the money comp is. I know Dante's being compensated totally fine for his market value in college.
Mm-hmm. Has Simpson signed his deal yet?
I haven't seen the note if he has, but I know him and Mendoza have.
They were the last two that had not signed yet.
So if they have, whatever. But Dante might get himself in the number one, number two pick next year, right? That's kind of where he's at right now in the projections.
So he's hoping to stay where he was, likely the number two pick and be one of the top two.
I would imagine, and maybe a team jumps into the fray or a team takes him instead of the position they took, but imagine if he could have been a Ram.
Oh, yeah. If you would have slipped to 13, I don't think he would have either,
but if he would have slipped, like you either get the starter at Oregon for one more year and make a ton of money, or you go to the Rams and get to back up Stafford and learn from McVay for a year as a guy that just did that in college at Oregon.
Oh, it would have been that's the best possible spot that you could go. The tough part is you're going to go to the Jets.
Yeah, they probably would have taken it.
Would have gone to the Jets.
Probably would have gone to
the projected contract, by the way, for Simpson, projected I don't think he signed yet. 4 years, $25.4 million. $15 million fully guaranteed.
He wasn't going to make 15 at...
Yeah, fully guaranteed signing bonus, about $50 million, and then there's the fifth-year option that's the highest paying of the year if they pick up the fifth-year option.
And none of those guys are going to make that money, but the money is so good in college.
That's the point of, like, if you're
Ty
Simpson.
Choose to come back.
Because 4 years, $25 million was that breakdown to per year, about $7 million a year, something in those lines. So if you're getting paid $6 to $7 million, there's not a big gap. Now, I think number one overall pick is obviously higher. Like,
why would Arch come back?
I don't know. It's just it was an interesting thought, and I saw that, and I'm like, man, that would be wild if he was back for another year of college football.
Because we say it as if this is like 1977. Well, he loves college. It's like his college experience already is not a normal college experience.
No, but I bet it's a lot of fun.
Is the NFL not going to be a lot? No. Whatever the definition of your lot of fun
no.
is.
No, it'll still be
it's
fun,
be
but
the
it's
same.
Different.
He can't go to
different.
His, but he can't go to all those parties he wants to.
No,
he has to pick and choose and can only be seen at certain spots. That's what the NFL life is.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm with you. I don't think it will happen, but I'm just wondering. It's something that I've filed away in the back of my mind of like in the years to come, how many more guys do we see do the Dante thing, which was pretty shocking of I'm sticking around for another year because I'm making a lot of money and I want more seasoning or I'm having fun or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And Sark hinting at maybe Arch being that. A former NFL player says something will be toppled. Do we agree on his pick on who will do it? And then is the media turning this guy into a villain or is it a rightful narrative? We'll get to that coming up next on The Fam. Look, the historian history buff debate has sparked quite the back and forth. We have heard back from our historian. He has chimed back in.
Well, maybe.
He's listening delayed to the show.
According
so
to you shouldn't be calling him a historian.
Well, he's now, this is an interesting one. Does this count?
All right.
This is to my, what I was saying, I think he technically can be called a historian. He said, sorry, I'm an idiot. I have a master's in history.
So he has a master's in history.
He has a master's in history.
Historian.
Could not find a job in history, so now I do IT.
That's because
and he
job
says historian
history.
Was me talking out of my ass, and I don't think it was. I think that was an applic. I think you're a historian. If you have a master's,
if you have
in history,
a master's, you're a historian.
He chimed in. He sent another one. Said,
"You earned it.
Where did this?
You
one
paid
go?
For it. You earned it."
Historian back again. I'm 30 minutes behind. Love you guys. Specialized in Eastern European history during the Cold War.
That.
Love me some history.
There we go,
dude. You're a historian.
You're a historian.
And then we had another one. Yeah. The people saying no to needing a degree to be a historian are the same people who listen to podcasts by self-proclaimed experts on conspiracy theories.
Well, I didn't want to say it, but we're in an interesting time where people now are medical experts because they heard one podcast and a guy referenced mushroom dust as the thing to drink to stop you from ever getting AIDS.
The expert word gets thrown around way too often, way too egregiously.
Well, I mean, there's so much out there now and so much information. Everybody's hawking product and like... My wife is doing that. Not that my wife is falling into the podcast trap of buy the supplement. My wife has been drinking mushroom coffee.
Mushroom coffee.
She tried it. She heard about it. She's like, oh, you know, and she's, you know, she tries.
What is the benefit
things.
Of mushroom? Like, what's the angle there?
I think it's good for skin, hair, you know, all the good stuff. Whatever.
What kind of shrooms are we putting in here?
I don't know. It's on the bag. It's a tear and
she
it's
just
a dust.
High as a kite the whole day?
No, she doesn't. No, it's not that kind of mushroom. So she's been taking this. So she tried it, and she since cannot, she can't stop it from coming. I meant the mushroom coffee. Don't derail the segment here.
I cannot speak English, but...
it keeps showing up.
Oh, it happened again.
Shout out the Hoggies.
Oh, my God. Woo! Okay, I'm okay. What's coming? The coffee?
The mushroom won't stop arriving at her house.
Okay, they continue to show up.
And I asked her the other day if she's, like, felt anything from that, and she says, I haven't felt any results.
Huh.
She's, like, still using it to not have it go to waste.
Yeah, this says mushroom coffee combines traditional coffee with extracts of medicinal mushrooms. It provides the familiar morning boost, but with 50% less caffeine and added...
It's supposed to be like a good energy, but certain like properties. Less caffeine hangover or
okay.
something. I don't know.
All right.
I'm just saying people will like try stuff, and some people call themselves experts.
That is very...
I wanted to be the superior Frenchman snob, but then I ate the beaver nuggets.
You didn't need to
Maybe that's why it won't stop.
Well, that was an unfortunate choice of word.
That was phenomenal. That was
I've had a Manscaped problem like that too. I cannot get them to stop the shipment.
They just keep showing up.
120 pumps.
We did a thing for them years and years ago, and it was like
no wonder 120 pumps.
A very brief endorsement.
Yeah,
I have checked the website. I've called them. There is no evidence of my account existing. And
are they
every
still
month,
charging you?
No, I don't get charged.
They're still sending you something every month.
Every month. I can't.
What
I,
is it? Is it like the ball wipes or the ball
deodorant?
It's the deodorant. Okay.
And it's the...
I liked the ball deodorant. The ball deodorant was pretty solid.
I still use it. Yeah. I got like 9 bottles of it. But also they got a facial cream that smells good.
Yeah, it is a good facial cream.
I can't use it because I break out. But like every month. It's there. I can't get it to stop.
I use the lawnmower.
Yeah. I still got that.
It gets the job done.
I don't get a new one. It's, you know, one machine.
Just sending you the wipes.
Yeah.
Hold on here. Let me read a couple more history thoughts because these are pretty funny. Somebody said, historian contributes to history, archives, researches, develops conclusions, and published findings. Dirt consumes history, not a historian.
Yeah.
If a degree is needed, depends on what you are a historian of. World history, yes, Dale Earnhardt Jr., no degree needed.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. I agree on the degree part.
I can't believe you just said that. That was pretty wild. Well,
I was fine until you shut the mic off and started laughing.
I can't overcome that one.
Not
that
trying
one,
to be a chotch.
I can't overcome.
And then I look
not...
at Swag, and when Swag gets the giggle monster, I don't know. It's his face. It makes
the giggle kid's
laugh.
Gonna get the full Swag treatment
tonight.
Yeah,
that was the full Swag treatment.
Swag will make you break pretty easily. The Swag giggle monster gets to you.
When Swag look at him right now,
when he puts the head down,
when
and he won't
like,
look at
grits
you.
Grits the teeth and he's smiling because he doesn't want to die from laughing. I just lose it. I cannot stop laughing.
I saw this, where did this, what was he doing an interview with? I can't even remember where it came from, but I saw a quote from Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Remember Calvin Johnson?
Megatron, as they called him.
Still the single season NFL record holder for receiving yards in a year.
I read this yesterday.
What do you have, 1937 or something?
1974?
1964, 1964. Do you know who came closest to beating it?
Did Justin Jefferson?
He is in 2022. Jefferson had 1,809 yards. That is sixth all time in a single season.
So somebody got like somebody right got, up to the line.
Dude, somebody was right there, like one chunk play away from doing it.
Was it the guy he thinks is going to break it?
It is not the guy he thinks is going to break it. It is Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp.
In 2021, Cooper Kupp had 1,947 yards.
Oh my God. How are you 20 yards short?
Must have been the last game. But like,
come
maybe,
on, Stafford.
Seriously.
And Stafford's, ironically, quarterback for both of them.
Yeah. Touche.
So Calvin Johnson said, and this is probably why, like, this record's going to fall. I know somebody's going to get it. It was interesting. He said the guy he would pick to break it, if he had to pick, would be Puka Nacua.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't
that's
know if
that's
the quarterback angle. He's like, oh, he was at the Detroit Free Press celebrity golf outing. That's where he was given this quote. And he jokingly said, like, that'd be cool if Stafford had. Because technically, if Puka Nacua
he'd
broke
it, top three,
he'd
top
have three. The top three receivers.
Yeah.
All from one quarterback, which is pretty wild.
Can I give you a take?
Who would your bet be on breaking it? And would our minds be blown by it? And not that it's that far off, but like a 2,000-yard receiving season we have never seen in NFL history.
No, because Megatron's point of like the extra game now helps, which is why he's surprised it hasn't been broken yet.
Yeah. JSN this year was eighth. His receiving total was eighth all-time in the NFL for one season.
He's a really good choice because he's a solid. You need a real solid number one choice that you know
reliable.
Gonna,
yeah, you got to have a good
quarterback throwing to him half the time.
I would pick Jefferson. I think Jefferson's a good one.
Does he have the right quarterback to do it?
He might now.
He might.
Yeah, he didn't last year.
Plus, Kyler's not afraid to throw bombs.
Yeah. Kyler will give him a shot. Chase is also a really good one if they get rid of T. Higgins. Can I give you a take?
Oh, go ahead.
Cooper Kupp is a great receiver. Mm-hmm. I will remember him as that whenever he retires.
Super Bowl champion twice.
I'm glad he's not the record holder.
Ooh.
I think you need an all-timer for the record holder. Are we not in agreement on this?
If he had the record, wouldn't he be an all-timer?
Is it not odd that the second highest point total in a basketball game is Bam Adebayo?
It is a little weird. That's a fair point.
The record holder, you know, you need the name. And Cooper Kupp is a really good receiver.
It ain't Megatron.
It ain't, man, no.
It ain't Megatron.
It ain't Megatron, man.
No.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Will it stop coming? I don't know, but our show won't.
Drop trial and hog out.
We'll get to the mail sack. Get your questions in. 503-864-6326. And it's a Sparta TRT mail sack. We'll start answering them next on 105.1 FM The Fam.